expectation levels have probably never been higher for the Boilermakers, a number 7 ranking in the preseason, a Big Ten favorite, and among the most likely for a Final Four run. Let's preview all of it with conversations with Matt Painter and Jaden Ivey on the Golden Black Radio podcast. I'm Kyle Charters along with Brian Newbert. Brian, basketball season is upon us. I don't think it's an understatement to say that this is one of the most anticipated in Purdue history.
Yeah, this is a program and a culture where every season is really, really highly anticipated. This is a basketball school, obviously. But when Purdue's good, you know, things are a lot different. And, you know, Purdue isn't just good this year, at least on paper. They are, you know, potentially elite. And there have been some seasons in recent years that have been very, very highly anticipated in terms of some of the years where Purdue had Caleb Swanigan. Before that, some of the years with Etuan Moore, Juwan Johnson, Robbie Hummel, where Purdue was, you know, a top 25 sort of team coming into the season, and hopes were extremely high. But this season's kind of a different level where, you know, a lot of people have Purdue as the Big Ten front runner. A lot of people have Purdue as a top 5 sort of team. Nationally, I've seen them as high as what, like number 2?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody put them number 1, which is probably a good thing for Purdue, given Purdue's history with such things. But obviously, Purdue's got a lot to prove. You know, last year was a weird year. They didn't do anything in the postseason. But it sure looks like on paper, at least, they've got every piece in place to be really, 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 really good.
Yeah, I have not yet checked out the Orlando Sentinel's preseason top 25 in basketball to see where they had Purdue, if they had the Boilermakers number 1. So Purdue, yeah, I mean, it has two of the best bigs in the country. One of them comes off the bench and could be really good. He was really good last year, could be even better this year. But when you've got two guys like that, and Trevion Williams and Zach Edey sort of to, you know, to build everything else around, it's a pretty good start for a basketball team.
Yeah, and, you know, the one thing I'd add is that I don't know if I'd speak in any declaratives on who's coming off the bench and who's not, because things can be very fluid with this team.
Yeah,
because they have, you know, so many really good players. And that's, you know, to be honest with you, that's probably Purdue's biggest challenge in the preseason, is that how are they going to involve guys? How are they going to find the right combinations? How are they going to manage this? Because this could be Painter's deepest team. Historically, when you've had too many players, there have been problems that have come with that. And I think that's going to require a certain extent of management. But, yeah, Purdue's got, you know, two really, really good big men. Under normal circumstances, it would sound awful presumptuous for you to call Zach Edey one of the best big men in the country. But I can say with relative certainty, and I know that's kind of a misnomer, relative certainty. You're either certain or you're not. But that Zach Edey is, in fact, one of the best big guys in the country, because every indicator this offseason, and a lot of that has been front-facing in terms of the under-19 games, in terms of what he's done in Purdue scrimmages, has indicated this guy is going to be one of the elite big men in college basketball now. And they have him, and they have another one of college basketball's elite big men in Trevion Williams. So what else is new? Purdue just has this ability, this knack as a program for always having two really good centers no matter what. And that's not the position Purdue was in coming into last season, because nobody knew what in the world Zach Edey even was. Kind of like manna from heaven, you know, he just sort of from basketball heaven, that is, not from a more important version of heaven. Kind of showed up and immediately established himself as this really, really high level big guy. And everything that's occurred ever since then has been nothing but an upward trajectory. And right now he might be one of the most dominant players, you know, Purdue's had in its 15 plus years under Matt Painter, at least from a physical perspective and from a influence over a game perspective. He's going to be one of college basketball's breakout players this year, without question.
And we talk about those two big guys, and they might not even be the best player or best players on Purdue's team. Maybe not, at least with the highest ceiling, because Jaden Ivey is pretty good. You know, we sort of know what he can do on the court. I think he, you know, showed it at the end of last year. I guess the question is, can he do it consistently, A, but can he, you know, sort of move into that leadership position that's required of a guy who is going to be sort of the lead dog, the guy with the ball in his hands a lot, the guy you're looking to score in some critical moments. You know, can he do all of those things along with being a really athletic, really good basketball player?
Yeah, I think that you go back and watch the last 10 games of his freshman season, I think his decision-making came a long way. And I think that's the most important key to his season, because he's gonna wield so much influence over this offense. He's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. He's going to be asked to attack whenever there's an opportunity to attack. And off that attacking, he either finds himself opportunities to score or he finds opportunities for other people. You look at his assist numbers through some of these scrimmages, and that's a really important element for him too this season. You know, he is the most talented guard Matt Painter's had. With all due respect to Carson Edwards, he's not the shooter Carson Edwards is. With all due respect to Etuan Moore, he's a whole other level of athlete than Etuan Moore. He's the most talented guard Purdue's had under Matt Painter, and I think he's gonna be a star this year. I thought he was a star to end last season. It was a kind of a process for him last season. You know, he missed all those games early in the season with the problem with his foot. So all the mistakes, you know, they have November and December for. You know, he kind of had to play through when the games mattered more in January and into February. But by the time you got to March, by the time you got to the end of February and into early March, you know, he had come a long way from a maturity perspective, from a decision-making perspective, from a know-how perspective. And he was a really high-level player at the end of last year, and he is going to pick up and run with that from day one this season. And I just don't see any way he's not, you know, a first-team All-Big Ten, borderline All-America type of player this year, because I think he's an absolute star, and he's the sort of player that Purdue just doesn't have very often.
Yeah. Purdue's got some other good veterans too, that I guess you call role players. It's hard for me to call like Eric Hunter Jr. and Sasha Stefanovic role players, but I guess in some ways they are, because they'd be star players on a lot of other teams, or lead players at least on a lot of other teams. But you've got some veterans there that, man, they can fill in those gaps pretty well against around some other pretty good players.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd call them role players as much as I would call them, you know, pieces. I don't know exactly what the difference is. We do these things in the morning right after I woke up, and I'm a little bit cobwebby. So I don't know what the difference between a piece and a role player is, but I think the significance in Eric Hunter and Sasha Stefanovic lies in their stability, their steadiness. I think that, you know, Purdue needs a really good defensive season from Eric Hunter. I have every reason to expect that. I think they need a very good decision-making season from Eric Hunter. I think they have reason enough to expect that. It would help if he would make open shots at a higher clip than he did last season for whatever reason. I don't see any reason to think that he's not going to have a much better senior year than he had junior year. Obviously, not opening the season with a knee injury will help. Stefanovic, obviously, I think can be one of the best shooters in college basketball, not just the Big Ten, in college basketball. But also, I think his experience and his veteran presence, I guess, needs to be an important element on this team, too, for a team that really hasn't been through a whole lot of things all told. Remember, only four guys on this team have played in front of a real college basketball crowd. And I'm not counting the limited capacity crowds they played in front of in the postseason, in which, by the way, Purdue did not win a game and started both of them very badly. So there's going to be a lot of experiences that Purdue goes through this season that Purdue hasn't been through before. All of these guys are, you know, freshmen or sophomores. And they're going to have to rely at times on the guys who've been through some of this stuff before, and very few of them have. So I think that adds another layer of significance to Eric Hunter, to Sasha Stefanovic, to Travion Williams, to Isaiah Thompson, because they're the only guys who really have experienced a full college basketball season experience.
Yeah.
Those seniors have been through everything, literally everything you can think of. They've had a season canceled due to a pandemic. They've almost gone to the Final Four. They've won a Big Ten title. They've missed the NCAA tournament, or they would have missed the NCAA tournament had there been an NCAA tournament. They've really experienced everything under the sun, and that experience has to manifest itself in a certain steadiness and a certain equilibrium when this team needs one, because this is a very – this is a pretty visceral, pretty emotionally driven sort of team. Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman in particular – come to mind as really, really excitable sorts of guys. And I think that it's very important for Purdue to have some of those guys who are just steady. And that's the biggest word I can think of to describe what Purdue needs from Eric Hunter and Sasha Stefanovic, and Travion Williams for that matter. I tend to categorize him a little bit differently because he's one of this team's stars. But I think all of those guys have to be steady.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Brian's conversation with Matt Painter, we'll have that next. Also, when Brian and I come back, we'll talk some concerns going into this season about this Boilermaker team. We'll do all that more coming up on Golden Black Radio. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
All right, so just to kind of start off, obviously much is expected of your team here this year. You know, everybody has you as like a top 10 team, Big Ten front runner, all that stuff. What's success this year for Purdue?
You know, obviously you want to win your league. You're in such a good league. I think any time you can compete when you're in a great league for a league title, whether you win it or not, you know, you have to be able to, you know, prove that, go out there and earn that. But you're going to put yourself in a really good position. But, you know, the league is so difficult. And so just trying to battle through that first and foremost. You get judged on how you do in the tournament. And rightfully so. That's, you know, end of the season. You know, how are you playing? But we all know, you know, with one game, you know, you can get hot. In one game, you can be out. And but I really like our team. I think we have some good pieces. I think we have experience. We have some skill. I know we have the ability to shoot the ball better than we have. And I think that's going to be a telltale for us. Just being able to manufacture good shots, take good shots. Because I think if we can do that, we're going to make a lot more threes than we have. We just haven't been consistent enough as a three-point shooting team here in the last 2 to 3 years. But yet, I feel like we have that. Then we have a very good balance with our size. We have some very good interior players. So I think that balance now, just working on being on the same page and having a great effort and really just having that team camaraderie.
Obviously, your seniors have been through everything under the sun. But you still don't have a lot of upperclassmen. You're freshmen and sophomores obviously haven't been through a ton of experiences because last year was so weird. Is this team ready collectively from a maturity perspective, you feel like, to handle all the good problem to have burdens that come with expectations?
That's a good question. Like, as a coach, you really don't know because, it's, you know, the exercise lies in the season. when you have to go through some of those things, being on the road, gyms being loud. Obviously, last year they weren't. Dealing through that kind of adversity, dealing through some of the adversity of success. I think, you know, being ranked early in the preseason means absolutely nothing, but, you know, how guys take that in and how they handle, you know, you're going to have to work for everything. Normally a loss really kind of sharpens the pencil in terms of getting guys to understand that anybody can beat you on a given night. So, but no, you know, just kind of for us, just trying to handle the day-to-day struggles. You know, when you try to have a good team, a lot of times you don't have two good teams in practice, and that's not the case for us. We have two good teams in practice, so we're hoping that, you know, kind of that competitive fire can really help us improve and get better as the season goes on.
Speaking of good problems to have, you know, one of your challenges this preseason and into the season has to be getting enough minutes for a lot of guys here to get them engaged and give them the best chances to be successful.
Right.
How do you go about approaching that and trying to figure things out in that regard?
Yeah, just trying to get them to really maximize the time that they get. I talked about them in the locker room today during film and just said, if you get 12 minutes, you know, make the most out of that 12 minutes. You know, play as hard as you can, empty your tank, and then hope that 12 minutes grows. It's about Purdue winning. I said there's going to be good players that don't play as much as they want on this team. And I wanted to get that out there without anybody's name being on it. Just saying this isn't going to happen to a guy or two. This is going to happen to four, five, six guys at different times throughout the season. Like, you're just not going to get set like that. You're going to allow the depth that you have to play some different guys at different times, and whether that's matchups, lineups, you know, injuries, guys playing well in a certain period of time. So I think that's an important piece for us to have that maturity and understand that and get over yourself. Like, you know, you got to be able to take a step back and say, I didn't play a whole lot, but the people that are playing in front of me right now are pretty good players. And at times it's going to have nothing to do with you. It's going to have something to do with them, and they bring something differently against an opponent, you know. But it's definitely a problem that we haven't had here like this, not this magnitude. And we're redshirting a guy who, if he didn't redshirt, like, I would feel very comfortable with him playing. Brian Waddell's done a great job for us.
Seems like this team should have a good amount of defensive potential. Are you seeing that in practice?
We got to do a better job of containing the dribble. Just being detailed in our rules, our ball screen defensive rules, our post defensive rules, and then finishing possessions with box outs. I think when you start the season, that's one of the areas that most people struggle with, just kind of finalizing a defensive possession with a check out and go get the basketball. But it's still a process. No, I think we have the potential to be a really good defensive team, but we're a long way away from that right now.
You've got a lot of weapons on offense. How do you strike the balance between the backcourt weapon that Jaden can be with, obviously, your strength on the interior?
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably the easiest thing you've asked, is just that kind of takes care of itself. You know, you run things for both people. You play off of both people in terms of having a great center. No matter who we play at the center, we're going to have a great option. Travion Williams, Zach Eady, Caleb can play some center, but Caleb will play more at the four because of that. But then, you know, you have Trey Kaufman that can play a couple spots. You got Mason Gillis that will come back after a handful of games and be able to play. So you have a lot of options there to be able to blend in there with him. But Jaden gives you, you know, that athleticism, that guy that can break people down. You have a lot of experience with Sasha Stefanovic and Eric Hunter, who have played in a lot of games. Sasha really stretches the defense and has really played well, and really he has shot well while moving well at the same time, which is really tough to deal with when you have to sink some people in to help in the low post.
Now the last question I want to ask you, it's the most important question I'll ask you all year. Are you coaching in a suit this year, or is it still casual Friday?
No, we're still going with the Purdue gear, going casual. I think a lot of coaches enjoyed that, and it looks like we're staying right there. And that's what I voted for also. So there's no rule saying we have to do it. So, but yeah, that's what a lot of the coaches across the country wanted to do, and so it looks like we're going to stick with it.
So you actually took a vote on it. That's how that all came down last year?
I don't know if it was a total vote, but I just think some representatives from each conference spoke on it, and everybody decided to kind of do it that way. And then they liked it, so we're going to stick with it. So.
I always wondered if all the coaches in the country were going to come out in the casual gear, and one dude is going to wear a suit and be all embarrassed.
I bet you'll have some of that. You'll have a little bit of that, but I think it's going to be fun.
Thanks for your time.
No problem.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
All right, Kyle here with Brian on the Golden Black Radio preseason hoops special. This is the cooler segment. Not cooler as in we're cool, cooler as in pump the brakes maybe a little bit on what we think about this this Purdue team. We'll talk about some of the concerns that we have. You know, I think they're the concerns that we left last season with, right? Because of what we saw out of Purdue at the end of the year, really all year. It didn't shoot the ball as well as what Purdue teams generally do. Defense was okay at times, but probably needs to be a little bit better. Let's start with the shooting a little bit. Man, it's hard to believe that Purdue shot the way it did. It feels like it has good shooters who just did not shoot very well. But that doesn't mean that automatically this year Purdue's going to shoot the ball better.
Right. And, you know, Purdue has made, I think in context, it's especially important for Purdue because they have made such a commitment, you know, to being a big-time three-point shooting team to the point where they've had to configure their defense to accommodate some players who might not be ideal for man-to-man, dribble containment, that kind of thing. When you do that, you really want your investment to pay off in a big way. And, you know, it did for so many years. And then for whatever reason, it didn't last year. You know, Purdue, if the printed out statistics hanging from my whiteboard in front of me here are accurate, they shot 30.7% for the season last year, and that's just not good enough. Now, a lot went into that. A lot that's not going to replicate itself. I think when you look at the way Jaden Ivey's season played out last year, he was probably a higher volume three-point shooter than, you know, anybody anticipated, probably a higher volume three-point shooter than ideally he should have been. I think he played through a lot of decision-making growth. And by the end of the season, I think he was like in the mid-30s over the last 10 games of the year. And that's counting a couple of prayers he had to chuck up at the end of the North Texas game when that was kind of a Mission Impossible kind of situation. He's going to shoot a higher percentage this year. He's going to pick his spots better. I think that's going to be something that automatically helps Purdue. Sasha Stefanovic is not going to get COVID-19 again. And when, at least we hope he's not going to get COVID-19 again. If he does, you know, we might have a national story on our hands. But when he came back from that, remember, he was like 0 for 10 or something like that. I didn't look it up. Don't quote me on that number, but it was significant. And it probably took 2 or 3 points off his percentage at the end of the season. Eric Hunter had an outlier season as a shooter. He shot 27% from three-point range. He's a much better shooter than that. Obviously, he didn't show it last year. to assume that he's going to be better than that this year, you know, might be a little bit of an assumption, but it's an assumption I'm willing to make, at least because I've watched him play before in his college career. I know he's a good enough shooter. I think he'll at least be a little bit better. And I think that those three things are all factors that are going to help Purdue on the surface shoot a better percentage this year than not. I think Aaron Wheeler's high volume and low percentage not being part of the mix anymore is another factor that I think is going to help just the overall percentage. But I think this can be a good shooting team. I don't know if this can be an elite Carson Edwards, Ryan Klein type of shooting team, but I think it can be a much better shooting team. I think Brandon Newman can have a great year. I think Stefanovic can be a mid 40% guy. I think Isaiah Thompson can shoot a very high percentage on low volume. Mason Gillis, I think can shoot a decent percentage on, you know, selective volume. They've got the pieces in place. They just have to take good ones. They have to be a better passing team than they were last year. And they just have to take the right shots. What they don't need is Jaden Ivey settling for early threes early in the shot clock before he's really flushed out the defense and really looked for every avenue to get in the lane. They don't need Travion Williams shooting three threes a game like he has, you know, in the scrimmages, kind of things like that. But I do think this team has all the potential in the world to, you know, make market improvement this year, but they have to do it. And I know it's a concern behind closed doors over there. I know that they've put a decent amount of emphasis into it this summer. You always work on shooting every offseason, but I think coaches came in. I know Paul Luss came from Creighton, and he brought a drill this summer that they did there where it's kind of a competitive shooting drill you run in the summer. I think they've tried to do whatever they can to make this team confident shooting the ball from the perimeter. And it's going to take some early season makes probably to get there. But I think, you know, Purdue really does have to prove this. If they don't shoot very well from 3-point range, that is going to put a lead balloon on the ankle of this team, because it's so important that they be able to make open shots off Jaden Ivey's penetration, off, you know, Purdue going inside to Travion Williams and Zach Edey and kicking the ball back out. This team's going to have so many open threes this year. If that becomes its Achilles heel, they're going to be defended accordingly. And that's what games are going to come down to. It's going to be a matter of Purdue, people daring Purdue to make 23s against them. And on the nights they only make 13 or 12 or 11 or 10 or whatever it is, then they're going to lose, and they're going to lose a game or two this year that, you know, to teams they're better than. And when you're in the rarefied air of being a top five team nationally, every game matters toward that number next to your name at the end of the season. So this is a really important key to Purdue's season. It's always an important key, but I think this year it's pivotal.
I went into last season feeling like Purdue was probably going to be on the poorer side of average, a poor defensive team, maybe. I don't think it was quite that bad. I think it was an average defensive team last year, but it needs it to be better than average probably this year, if it's to, you know, be as good as what we think it can be, right? And what does it need to do to be an above average defensive team? I mean, Eric Hunter's good. I think Jaden Ivey can be a good defensive player if he buys into doing it. I mean, his athleticism is so great. He gets about 5 or 6 points a game on, you know, run out, fast break after his own steals. Purdue needs to have a little bit better rim protection, probably inside. All of those things add up to Purdue being a little bit better defensively this year.
Well, I thought they overachieved last year. I thought they were better as a unit than they were the sum of their parts. Now they got exposed by North Texas at the end of the year, when North Texas could really spread them out and shoot from every position, had some athleticism advantages on Purdue. But I think Purdue, you know, does have a chance to take a pretty considerable step forward here too. I think, you know, dribble containment is the biggest key to Purdue's season defensively. And I think, you know, if Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman in particular really, really become the sort of defenders that they're both capable of from a physical perspective, I think all of a sudden you're sitting here looking at at going from Eric Hunter being the only reliable guy in that regard, and to a lesser extent, Isaiah Thompson, to having three legitimate guys in Eric Hunter, Jaden Ivey, and Brandon Newman, who can really contain the dribble and really, really make things difficult on people. Purdue has had to configure its defense over the years to accommodate, you know, some guys who, you know, weren't the best defenders or weren't the most willing defenders in some cases. And I think that that structure has created some vulnerabilities that have made Purdue really, really vulnerable. Let's see how many times I can use the word vulnerable in the same sentence. It's made Purdue vulnerable to kind of outlier shooting, where when the ball gets reversed, a Montez Mathis or some rando like that makes five threes. The Texas game at Texas a couple of years ago, where they're like a 30% shooting team and they make like 20 threes. That's the sort of thing that I think if Purdue's better against the dribble, maybe they can ease off that overcompensation a little bit and maybe even the playing field to a certain extent. The other part of this, too, is, you know, last year Purdue played all these guys who had no experience. They're all freshmen, you know. I shouldn't say all freshmen. They had a bunch of true freshmen. They had the two redshirt freshmen who had never played in a game before. I think that the fact you had a normal offseason this year, I think, really helps them structurally. Because summer is for implementing your defense. Your defensive concepts, your defensive structures. And last year, Purdue never had real team practices in the summer. It was a dysfunctional summer in every regard. And now that I think those guys have played a season and they've had this full off season with Paul Lusk, who I think is a very, very good defensive coach, I think that automatically helps you considerably because – simple experience. I mean, everybody gets better with experience, right? The more stories I write, theoretically, the better I get, even though that's not the way my career has played out. I'm a significantly worse writer now than I was 15 years ago. But theoretically, you should get better with experience. You should get better with knowledge. And Purdue has much more of that now than they did a year ago at this time. I think one thing that came to light in the postseason was that Purdue has got to be communicative. They have got to be on the same page defensively. I think that's kind of where your leaders come in too. But also the fact they got exposed by North Texas, they got exposed in that first half against Ohio State. That sort of negative experience, I think, can also be something Purdue draws some benefits from. But Purdue has a chance to be not just an overachieving defensive team like they were last year. I think they can be a legitimately good defensive team. I think they should be a great defensive rebounding team. I think Zach Edey gives them another weapon on the glass. I think the two freshmen in Caleb First and Trey Kaufman Wren are both going to be very good rebounders for Purdue, at least in time. I think Mason Gillis is going to be a better rebounder this year than he was last year. Trayvon Williams is obviously already an elite defensive rebounder. That's part of defense. It would be nice if Purdue generated some more turnovers, and I think mm-hmm. that falls in line with what I talked about before. If Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman take that step as defenders who can be a little bit more disruptive than maybe some of Purdue's guys on the perimeter were last season, a little more disciplined in terms of not taking as many risks as those guys might have done last year, I think Purdue can both be a more solid defense, but also a more disruptive defense. And that can lead to offense as well. And, you know, the less burden you have on yourself to execute offensively, always the better things are. You know, when you have a weapon like Jaden Ivey in transition too, you want to get out in the open floor as much as you can. And I think Purdue has a chance to do a little bit more of that this year than they did last.
There's been matchups that have caused Purdue problems over the years, especially against maybe smaller teams that have some athletic guards who then those athletic guards suddenly get extremely hot from the perimeter, like we saw, you know, in the NCAA tournament last year, and I've seen at times in the NCAA tournament in years past. Is that kind of matchup, or is there a matchup that you feel like is a problem for this Purdue team, or is it a little more versatile in that it might be able to handle – some different styles of play that it's going to encounter down the line this year?
Well, I think the matchup that comes to mind that would be really problematic for Purdue is the sort of matchup that's really problematic for a lot of people. If you have a really athletic and really skilled four-man, I think, you know, if Purdue's playing big, and they will be playing big because whoever their four-man is going to be either Mason Gillis, Caleb First, or Trey Kaufman-Wren, or Travion Williams, those guys are going to be more post-oriented than they are perimeter-oriented. I think that can be something that can be a problem for Purdue. If Purdue plays Zach Edey and Travion Williams together, obviously there's going to be some real front court dynamics there that Purdue's going to have to survive against. And then just teams with elite penetrators, as I mentioned before, you know, dribble containment is Purdue's biggest concern this season. But defensive perspective, again, if Jaden Ivey and Brandon Newman become really high-end defenders, I think that becomes a little bit less of a concern. But that doesn't mean it won't be a concern. So those are the two things that kind of come to mind. I think also maybe a Kofi Coburn, Hunter Dickinson, guys like that who are going to make Purdue's two centers really have to defend, yeah. Things like that. That just kind of offsets one of Purdue's strengths as much as it becomes a real problem. But, you know, the other side of the coin here too is that anytime there's going to be a really unfavorable matchup for Purdue from a defensive perspective, that should come with it a significant advantage from an offensive perspective as well. But, you know, people who can spread Purdue out and drive from every position like North Texas could, I think that is something that they're really going to have to, you know, they're really going to have to be concerned about when that time comes. Now, how many teams are capable of doing that, I don't know. I'm not aware of any in the Big Ten really who are going to pose that sort of problem for Purdue. But you never know until that matchup shows up. But I think Purdue is relatively insulated, more so this year than last year, from that really, really nightmare sort of matchup. But that doesn't mean there won't be some really difficult matchups for them.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. Brian's conversation with Jaden Ivey. Then we'll come back, talk a little bit of Big Ten, where Purdue fits in the conference picture. We'll do all that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, it will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. It works with top lenders to do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at ahogberg, A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard to shop for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
Experience unparalleled comfort, service, and cuisine at the Whitaker Inn. This Midwestern oasis is perfect for a relaxing staycation or weekend getaway. Escape from the ordinary at the Whitaker Inn.
All right, so just kind of start off, obviously, you know, the expectations for you guys are pretty high this year. People having the top five, Big Ten front runner, all that stuff. How do you kind of handle expectations?
You know, as a team, you know, we know, you know, the expectations that are, you know, being put. You know, we have, you know, a lot of our returners back.
Yeah.
And, you know, just coming off of last year, we took, you know, March Madness. We know how serious it is. And, you know, what we have to do better. As a team, you know, to, you know, win those tough games and, you know, all the expectations that, you know, people are putting on us, we don't really mind it. We just come out here every day and just work hard.
How do you sort of define success this year? Is this one of those years where it's defined by, you know, championship or no championship kind of thing?
I think so. Just because, you know, a lot of expectations have been put, you know, on us. And, you know, that's all we, you know, have in our minds, honestly. You know, we don't want to, you know, we don't want to be second place. than anything. So just coming out here day in and day out, just working hard and, you know, knowing that we have that one goal in our mind is to win, you know, something special.
How do you guys view kind of last season? Obviously, you had a lot of success before people really expected you to be successful. But then, you know, at the end of the year, you didn't have the success you wanted to have in the postseason. What bearing does all of that have on this season?
It's always on our minds. Obviously, you know, we've been watching, breaking down film, you know, in that game against North Texas. And, you know, every time we watch it, it's hard to watch because, you know, we never want to lose in those situations. And, you know, just the way we lost. You know, we lost two in a row. You know, we lost Ohio State, and then right started the tournament, we just losing North Texas. So, you know, that's like, ever since that L, I think it's been on all of our minds. So, you know, just knowing that and just using that as motivation, it can help us down the road for sure.
What's different for the second year guys? Obviously, you had kind of a messed up offseason last year. You all feel like kind of veterans now, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, last year was super tough as far as COVID and everything. You know, we're just put in a lot of tough situations. And, you know, I think that just, you know, all of our guys have just helped us, you know, tremendously. And, you know, as, you know, we're returning, you know, back for our second year, I think it's going to help, you know, all of us. And, you know, now it's our time to, you know, help the freshmen and, you know, teach them things that, you know, that we, you know, we didn't know, you know, as freshmen. So that's only going to help, you know, all of us.
What defines this team offensively, you think?
Just getting the right shot, the shots that we want. I think that's going to help us a lot, just getting the shots that we want to take. And, you know, knowing we got a lot of, you know, we got a lot of people that can play on this team. And it's just, you know, just playing together, playing at the right pace, playing our pace. You know, we play, you know, every game. That's just going to help us, you know, offensively. And then, you know, if we don't score, you know, defensively, we got to be locked in as a team as well.
What defines you defensively then?
Just being locked in. Yeah. I think that's the biggest key. Just being locked in on defense, you know, knowing our, you know, rules, sticking to our rules in each and every game. It's just, you know, building as a team defensively, you know, building the brand of basketball that we want to build. And, you know, just proving everyone wrong. I think we got to – I mean, it's a lot of people that, you know, have high expectations on us, and it's just, you know, just coming out here and doing, you know, what they say we can do. It's just, you know, playing the brand of Purdue basketball.
Yeah. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish, and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Kyle back with Brian to talk a little bit of Big Ten basketball and where the Boilermakers fit in conference play, at least here in the preseason. So, Brian, who do you have as your number one team in the Big Ten as we look ahead to the season, Purdue or Michigan?
Yeah, it's 1A, 1B, and I don't know who 1A is. I voted for Michigan in the preseason media poll, which I probably should admit on a radio show that is being listened to by 100% Purdue fans, but I don't really know what I base that on. I guess I just kind of looked at Purdue having not closed the season very well last year. Not that Michigan closed it a lot better, but I just kind of flipped a coin, I guess I should say. But Purdue has got a chance to be obviously the best team in the league. I think Michigan's got a chance to be the best team in the league. I think Illinois would have an outside chance at that. I'm not necessarily buying them without Io. But obviously getting Kofi Coburn back puts them in the mix to at least win some really consequential games this year. People like Ohio State more than me. I don't as much as a lot of other people, but I think it's clearly Purdue or Michigan. And this season probably comes down to, you know, what happens with those two games between Purdue and Michigan. I think they play twice, right? Yeah, they do. So two really, really high-end teams. Michigan's got some people they have to replace, but they have an elite freshman class coming in. I think I'm probably in the minority here, but I think Hunter Dickinson is the best player in the Big Ten. But I think Purdue has, if you rank the five best players in the Big Ten, I think, you know, Hunter Dickinson might be number one, but Purdue might have three of the next four. Yeah. When all is said and done, at least two of the next four. So I think this is going to be one of those seasons that comes down to who doesn't screw up and lose at Wisconsin on a Wednesday night, you know, who doesn't screw up and not show up to a game at Penn State or something like that, or not show up at Nebraska or some such thing. Big Ten championships, I always say this, aren't won by beating the other best teams in the league. They're won by not losing to those second division teams when you shouldn't lose to those second division teams. So whoever's more consistent, I think, is probably going to win the league. And, you know, I do think that's an area where Purdue has to prove itself still a little bit. It has to be able to go to Maryland. It has to be able to go to – they might only have Maryland once. Don't quote me on any of this, okay? I'm just using that generally. They have to be able to win some really, really snooze fest types of road games in the middle of the week and, you know, things like that. But I think Purdue's got every chance to be the Big Ten champion this year.
Yeah. Got to make cold trips up to Minnesota and Northwestern and, you know, not be too cold in the actual gym.
Just because Purdue wins at Indiana every year doesn't mean that that's something that they can take for granted either. That's going to be a, you know,
right.
That's going to be a battle with all those fans back and stuff.
The Big Ten in general, you know, Michigan, Purdue, Illinois, Ohio State, you know, maybe Maryland. The Terps got a lot of new players, but a lot of talented new players. It's good at the top of the Big Ten. It might be better at the top of the Big Ten than it was a year ago, but it's worse at the bottom, right? I mean, the league is not as deep as what it was last year, it doesn't seem.
Well, it's so hard to know nowadays because all of these teams are bringing in these transfers and you don't know what you got until you see it. If Tyson Walker at Michigan State is really good, Michigan State could be in that conversation that we just had about who are the top teams in the Big Ten. If all of these guys Maryland brought in, I think they have three transfers coming in. If all of those guys are good, you know, they might be up there too for all we know. You just don't know. So the range of outcomes for some of these traditional powers in the Big Ten is pretty robust here. So that adds a real layer of uncertainty to kind of breaking down the league in advance. But in terms of the bottom of the Big Ten, I don't think this is nearly as deep a Big Ten as it would be because I think Iowa's going to fall off the map. Wisconsin's going to fall off the map. I think Minnesota might not win a game this year. And if Michigan State and Maryland, you know, if their transfers don't pan out, then they're middle of the pack teams, whereas those are always teams you've had to worry about before.
Yeah.
I think, too, Indiana's a really interesting one because they have a lot of guys back. or I should say they have their star back. But that star hasn't really won you a whole lot of games over his first few years. You have a new coach. You have a couple of new transfers, too. You're going to rely very heavily on a freshman. I think their range of outcomes is pretty robust as well. So I think that there's just a lot of question marks in the Big Ten, but I don't see how those question marks don't all add up to this being a considerably less deep league.
Yeah.
This year than it's been. Rutgers, you know, I think probably takes a bit of a step back without Miles Johnson and Montez Mathis and some of the guys they lost. Obviously, Harper Jr. and Geo Baker are back, but I think their window is closed. You know, to be a real factor in the Big Ten, you know, to be a top 25 sort of team. So I think that battle royal the Big Ten has been here the last couple of years, I think thins out quite a bit this year.
People ask me occasionally, well, you think Purdue is the seventh best team in the country? I'm like, maybe. I don't know. I can't claim to know a ton about, you know, outside of a few players who plays for Gonzaga or who plays for Kansas or, you know, some of those other teams. But does Purdue being in the 5-10 range in the preseason nationally seem about right to you?
It's justifiable. I mean, they have to prove more than people are, I think, wanting to believe right now. I think they have to be better defensively, obviously. I think all of these second-year guys have to make considerable jumps. They have to shoot the ball better, but they also have to, for a team that's still pretty young, they have to handle all these experiences that are coming their way. They have to handle expectations. You know, last year nothing was expected of them, and now that all of the problems that come with that burden of, you know, having to be held to the highest standard possible, you know, to probably know you're getting everybody's best shot every night. I know that's kind of a cliche storyline, but I think it's a legitimate one.
Yeah.
I think that's something they have to be ready for and something that they're unproven having to do. But it is definitely justifiable. I mean, Purdue's got two elite centers. They've got a guy who we could be talking in 3 months about Jaden Ivey being the best guard in college basketball. I think that's very reasonable. I think you have somebody in Brandon Newman too, who could take a step forward this year and, you know, become Purdue's next really high-end guard after Jaden Ivey, whenever Jaden Ivey's, you know, time comes. You've got two really, really high-end, you know, freshmen coming in forward and Caleb First and Trey Kaufman Ran. I'm not sure people know how good they are. Either. I think you have I think you shot 30% from 3-point range last year. I think you have every bit of potential to shoot 38 this year. That might be a bit of a mouthful, but I think they can be a better defensive team than they were this year. But that stuff I know. That stuff maybe not everybody else knows.
Yeah.
So I think all the pieces are there for them to be as good as people think they're going to be, but they absolutely positively have to prove themselves again over that first month of the season. And for the duration of the season, consistency obviously has to be a really important strength for this team as well.
How loud will Mackey Arena be this year?
Well, I've never heard a college basketball crowd cheering through paper masks. So I don't know what that's going to do for things, but I can tell you that, and I hope for those ushers' sake, the people who have to enforce the mask mandate, I hope people are cool to them because they're just doing their jobs. If that's part of what they're there to do, if they need to enforce that, I hope people don't give them a hard time because they would just be doing their jobs. But anyway, I think I just took us off in a weird direction. I think that if Purdue was average coming into this season, and people missed Mackey Arena for a year, I think things would be really, really lively for those really high-level home games this year. But the fact that Purdue is a top 10 team, this is, you know, I hate the term perfect storm. I hate it. It's one of my pressure points. Can't stand it. But every now and then, there's that time where you just got to use it. You just got to bite the bullet and use it. But that's what it is. It's the perfect storm. It's crossing the streams in Ghostbusters. It's it's everything lining up for an absolute eruption here. People not being able to wait to get back into Mackey Arena, people needing their Purdue basketball. This is obviously one of the most passionate fan bases in college basketball, coupled with the fact that, you know, Purdue could be an elite team this year. I think this could be a real powder keg this year. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be Indiana or Michigan State or whoever it might be coming into Mackey Arena for a really big game January, February, whenever it might be.
I'm just glad
Florida State is going to be on the receiving end of something 20 times worse than what they get at Duke or something like that. That's probably exaggeration on my part, but you know what I mean. That's really the first high level home game Purdue's going to play. If Purdue wins that game, if Purdue forces a 3-second violation or whatever at any point in that game, you know, if Jaden Ivey gets out in the open floor and throws down a dunk or something like that, that place is going to implode.
Yeah. Sounds good. It'll be exciting to watch, that's for sure. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, that'll wrap up our podcast. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. Of course, there'll be much more on the site as we get geared up for the season at goldandblack.com. For Brian Ebert, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Gold and Black Radio.